I'm going to talk about something different tonight. This week we have a fast day. In fact, it might already be a fast day for those who attended Dr. Schneur Lyman's Friday night rush. Today, tomorrow, and the next day are all fast days according to the Bahag. He has a list of different interesting fast days. But let's discuss an event that happened. I would think it's now about 5-6 years ago on Asara B'Teves. The following shaila came up in DRS. Rabbi Kamenetsky gives a Friday morning parsha shir already for many years, and Rabbi Kamenetsky was giving his parsha shir one Friday morning. And his mouth was clearly very dry. He was getting very excited, very animated, and he clearly could use a drink. One of the Balabatim who attends it's a shir for Balabatim. One of the Balabatim who attends the shir noticed that Rabbi Kamenetsky was very thirsty, so he went out, he got a drink of water, and gave it to Rabbi Kamenetsky. He was in the middle of saying the shir, but he picks up the water, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Nihyeh B'Dvaro, and only after he recites the bracha, but before he takes a sip, he remembers, oh yeah, today's Asara B'Teves. It was a fast day, and he had forgotten, in the excitement of the shir, he had forgotten that it was Asara B'Teves. So now what does he do? He has already recited the bracha, he has not yet had a drink. So he did what he did, and he came over to me during davening, he doesn't talk in the Beis Medrash during davening, but he wrote a note to me during davening. This is what happened. Good topic for 10-minute halacha shir. So at that time, I started doing a little bit of research on the topic. This past summer, I first had the opportunity to write it up, and that's what you have in front of you, is a very rough draft of the write-up, which has not yet been edited. And just this week, I wasn't going to give this topic this week, although it makes sense, Asara B'Teves, and it makes sense for another reason as well, which we'll see soon. But this week, I'm on Tzvika Reisman's email list, and when he sends out, every month, he sends out a shir that he has written up, a chapter from a forthcoming sefer usually, and this week's chapter was Birech al Ochel v'Niskar Shayom Tainis. The topic was exactly this topic. A person makes a bracha on food, and then he remembers before eating it that it's a fast day. So what do you do in that situation? So I found this dilemma to be a very interesting thing. I did not have a chance to read through Rav Tzvika Reisman's essay carefully. I read through it not so carefully. He definitely has a lot of stuff there that I didn't think of. I think he doesn't have everything that I have. We have a slightly different different approaches to dealing with the issue and different maskanas lahalacha in how to paskud on the issue. But let's discuss what the options are. So what are the options, right? Here he is. He said the bracha already. He's got the cup of water in his hand. So what exactly are his options? So option one is drink it, in which case he's going to be violating drinking on a tainis, but at least he will not be in violation of bracha levatala. Option two, baruch shem kol machzel on that, right? That solves it, that fixes it. So if you say baruch shem kol machzel on that, he will not be in violation of drinking on a fast day because he's not going to drink anything, and maybe he won't be in violation of bracha levatala either because he said the magic words, baruch shem kol machzel li'olam ve'ed, and maybe that solves the problem. Find besum really quickly, you're saying.
Really?
Could shakel, I think Paul's can do say that shakel can cover it, so that's an interesting etza. Didn't think of that one. But without kavana, when your kavana was on the water, I don't know. No, because halacha in hilchos brachos in general is if you say a bracha and something else is not even there and you didn't even have in mind that it would possibly be brought there, that even if it's the same bracha, you would require another bracha. So, right? Meaning if someone were to then bring a cup of orange juice, he would have to say a new bracha, because he'd never had a havamin that someone was going to bring orange juice into the Beis Medrash in the middle of his shir when he has the cup of water in front of him. So that would probably require a new bracha in its own right. So the other option is not necessarily drink, as in, really drink it, but maybe a ti'ima ba'alma. Maybe if you take a ti'ima, maybe he should just take some water in his mouth and spit it out, or maybe drink pachas mikshir, do some sort of quasi drink, and that way maybe he could hedge. He could hedge his bet a little bit, and that in a certain sense maybe it will not be a bracha levatala, and maybe it won't really fully qualify as eating on a fast day. So those are, as I see it, the three options that he has in front of him.
You have to make a bracha to taste or to like.
Ah, so that's what we have to figure out. Meaning, do you need a bracha if you're having just a ti'ima, and would a ti'ima be a violation on a fast day? So both of those issues, it could work out well, or it could work out really badly, or it could work out that it doesn't do anything, right? Meaning There are three possibilities. It could be that ti'ima would count as eating like for requiring a bracha, but not count as eating for a fast day. It could be that it won't count as that it counts as eating for a fast day, but not for requiring a bracha.
Or
it could
be gum.
Yeah. So this is also a discussion of poskim. Gum is not. The answer is yes, and the reason is not because you say a bracha ti'ima, the reason is because gum, you're actually eating it. Meaning, if you ever put a piece of gum in your mouth, so you're putting a stick that's like this big in your mouth, and you chew it, and after a few minutes, it's like tiny. So what happened? How did it magically disappear? And the answer is the majority of the gum is not the base. It's the added sugar and flavoring that's in the gum, and you've actually eaten that. You've actually swallowed that. That's why gum has to be kosher, right? That's why, I mean, Rabbi Abadi has a famous shita. Not that way, but people who never heard of Rabbi Abadi have no idea who he is, and they just know he's my rabbi when it comes to all my... You know, kosher gum shaylas. He's my rabbi.
He holds
say a bracha.
He holds the gum's kosher.
He just holds that it's kosher because there's no such thing as a non-kosher flavor.
Gelatin,
yeah, but what about any other flavor? You don't know what the flavoring is. What's in the flavoring?
I don't know when he says all gum. I know the three major brands, which
are,
I think,
consistent. Okay, like.
I don't eat gum, so I never researched it.
Right. Okay, but he holds like Wrigley's.
Because I once saw someone eating before a shot, after a shot before Kiddush, he said, hold like a robotic, so that's a robotic. So no way you can't.
He also said it is called Achila. I didn't realize that. My understanding was that he thought that it wasn't, that it's just not an Achila at all. So I didn't understand what he was. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, but not our topic, but that is interesting. So, David, you were saying that he should have gum? That would be his eights over here? Or no, you're saying ti'ima is, yeah. So we'll get to it.
If you're going to spit something out, you just want to like there's such a food that like you just want to taste it and then spit it out. Would you say a bracha? Like you wouldn't say a bracha.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to whether you say a bracha. Listerine strips is also very interesting. That's Listerine strips. Bekitzer nimritz. Listerine strips. There are three issues. There's the issue of can you have it on a fast day. There's the issue of does it need to be kosher, and there's the issue of do you need to recite a bracha on it. It is likely that all three of those issues are connected to each other. That if you hold that it's a food, so it would need to be kosher, you're not allowed to have it on a fast day, and you would need to recite a bracha on it. If you hold that it is not a food, so you would be, is that what I said? If you hold it is not a food, you would be allowed to have it on a fast day, it would not need to be kosher, and no bracha would be necessary. Rav Asher Weiss holds, I believe, on all three of those issues that it is a food, and Rav Schechter holds on all three of those issues that it is not a food, as far as I recall. So, but that's, okay, so we'll have to get to this. So this is a good idea. Let's go through. What are the issues that we're going to have to discuss in order to answer these shaylos? Because this is where me and Zvika Reisman, and this is the second time this happened, by the way, that I wrote a chapter, I was ready to publish it in the Sefer, and then Zvika sends an email exactly the same topic. The first one was on davening from a smartphone. He had sent it to me mamish the week that I had written up Simon whatever of Hakona Lama, wherever I spoke about smartphone, davening from a smartphone. But the one of the issues that we differed on is what topics need to be discussed over here. So one topic that needs to be discussed clearly is what the status of ti'ima is, both with regard to bracha and with regard to a fast day. Any other topics? What are the other topics that we have to discuss? Bracha levatala. What exactly is the avera of bracha levatala? Is it nisud daraisa? Is it nisud drabanan? Meaning, if you're going to be figuring out what's worse, is it worse to violate bracha levatala, or is it worse to violate eating on a fast day? You need to know how bad each avera is. So, how bad is bracha levatala, and also how bad is eating on a fast day, right? How bad is it to break your fast on a fast day like Asara B'Teves? So I didn't really delve into that one so much in my piece. Tzvika did a lot because I just thought it was a davar pashut. Eating on a fast day on a fast day like Asara B'Teves is what kind of iser? Drabanan, right? It's got to be a nisud drabanan. Eating on Yom Kippur is a nisud daraisa. Eating on any other fast day is a nisud drabanan. So Tzvika pointed out that it could be that it's, and poskim say this, not Tzvika pointed out, but Marsham, that since it one is mekab, the only tainus tzibur, Gemara and Tainus says, the only tainus tzibur we have bizman hazeh is Tishbav. Everything else does not have the chumra of a tainus tzibur. Everything else has the status of what's called a tainus yachid, and a tainus yachid is something that we're mekabel on ourselves. And if that's the case, the Tainis Yachid is probably Asr Midin Neder, which is very interesting, because Yatza Kulaso Chumraso, that a Tainis Tzibra like Tisha B'Av is an Isr Drabanan. A Tainis Yachid, like all the other fasts, may only be Asr Midin Neder, not really a formalized Drabanan, but when you make something, when you take a Neder, that makes the item into a daraisa. You could take something that's totally mutter, but a neder makes it a daraisa. So it could therefore be that eating on Asar B'Teves is a daraisa. So that's what he works on that angle. I did not work on that angle at all. I worked with the assumption that it's Drabanan. Another angle I didn't work as hard as I should have, but he works a little harder on, is let's say for argument's sake, these two averos are equal. Bracha Levatala and eating on the tiny seabird, they're equal, and there's no other Eitzah, right? Let's assume they're equals, and there's no other Eitzah. So what's the proper mode of behavior when you have two equals? Oh, so you think, Shevi al ta'asa adif. So I did not analyze that in great detail, but normally that would be the assumption, and that probably does require a little bit of analysis. Should we just assume that since I've already said the bracha, so violating bracha levatala would mean just not doing anything. Violating a tainis would mean going ahead and eating on the tainis. So maybe shevi al tasa adif. Also, something I didn't analyze at great length, although I added it in just tonight, but it's not in what's in front of you, is that even leaving out shevi al tasa adif, at the time that you said the bracha, you were doing it b'shogeg. I mean, you didn't realize that you were doing something wrong. Now, if you're eating, you're doing it b'mezid. So it could be that better to violate the avera that was b'shogeg rather than to b'mezid go and eat on the fast day. Although you could argue, no, it's not called a mezid. It might be a mitzvah. Meaning, if you're going to eat on the fast day, it's because it's the best option. So it's not an avera b'mezid. It's a mitzvah. It's a hatzalah to save you from a worse iser, right? So you could make the argument that that's not called a mezid at all. We also need to discuss, where does this whole Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol Yom Va'ed thing come from? There's no dogma, as far as I know, in any other iser that you could just do that you could say some magical phrase and an avera that you've already done disappears. That, like, you know, I give the mashal to the Talmidim, you walk into a room and you accidentally turn the light on. So do you just say, V'krasa l'Shabbos Oneg? You know, there's no such thing. There's no, like, magic words about, you know, about how special the day is or whatever, you know. We don't have it anywhere else. So how does this Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol L'Olam Va'ed work? So that's another issue to discuss. And then the final issue to discuss is, how does this relate to other similar shilas? And Tzvika, again, did a much better job than I did on finding other similar shilas. The only one that I really thought of off the top of my head was, a person had a fleishiga lunch, and it's an hour or two later, and someone offers you a piece of cheese or ice cream or something, and you say, shakol ni abdvaro, and you realize, uh-oh, I'm still fleishig. So that's a very similar type of shayla. That Rav Avadya Yosef has a discussion, he has a tshuva and yichavadas about that. Now that comes with a whole different set of issues, because the issue is not about eating on a fast day, the issue is about eating milchigs after fleishigs, which is a, and how much after? And what if it's not in the same hour? We just had, you know, there are so many different minhagim. We just had gamers meetings today, so we asked one of the potential converts, what happens if you eat, can you eat meat and dairy together? So she said, if you eat dairy, you have to wait an hour before you eat meat. So she was trained by Chabad. So that's what they taught. You have to wait an hour before you eat meat. And if you eat meat, you have to wait 3 hours before you eat dairy. We said, well, wait a second. You know, if you really trained by Chabad, they should have told you 6 hours. So we weren't sure exactly where she got the 3 hours from. But there is such an idea that there's something different within the 1 hour versus after the 1 hour. So that complicates that shaila. Or for example, let's say a person, and this is Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, and it's a plia atzuma that most of the poskim that discuss our shaila don't even raise. This is a Beferish halacha in the Ramah. What happens if a person recites Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz and then he realizes he hasn't said Avdala yet? It's Matzoi Shabbos and he hasn't said Avdala yet, and you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So is it better to take a bite of the bread or better to say your Baruch Shem and say Havdalah? So that would be also a very similar shaila. Or what happens if a person says a bracha on food, he takes a piece of cake, says Baruch Mineh Mezonos, and then he realizes that he hasn't daven shachris yet. So you're not allowed to eat before you daven. So he said a bracha now. So what does he do in terms of eating before davening? So you have a lot of similar shailas. So let's just focus on this one, you know, this tiniest one. And we'll start with the very basic halacha that we have to cover, and that is the issur of bracha levatala. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos Tav Lamed Gimel tells us, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Darmi Tarvayu Kala Mevarich Bracha Sheinetzricha Over Mishon Lo Sisa. If a person says a bracha sheinetzricha, that is a violation of Lo Sisa. That sounds like it's an Isser Da'oraisa. Over Mishum Lo Sisa. You know, it says it's a violation of Lo Sisa. So it seems like it's an Isser Da'oraisa. In fact, the Rambam in a Tshuva, in Simon Pei Dalet, says Isser Brach Levatal is an Isser Minatora. Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. The Rambam writes similarly in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Tezvav, and it's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch La'alach in Sim Reish Tezvav Sivdalid, Kala Mevarich, Bracha Sheinetzricha, Hareza, Nosei Shem Shamayim Lashav, Harei Hu Kinishpa Lashav. Shulchan Aruch says it's as if he was Nosei Shem Shamayim Lashav, it's as if he swore Lashav, meaning, and when you swear Lashav, L'sisa Shem Hashem L'kech Lashav, that is a violation of an Isser D'oraisa. So it sounds, the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, certainly, and of the Rambam, and that's the way Mishnah Berurah understands, and the Magen Avraham understands, and the Birkei Yosef understands, and the Birkei Gra understands, is that to recite a Brachal V'atala is an Isser D'oraisa. However, the Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel, Shita V'Kupetzos Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel, The Rush, I think, is also in Brachos. The Rush is in Kiddushin, the first part of Kiddushin. All say that a bracha sheinetzricha is only a violation of an Issur Rabbanan. Aye, but the Gemara says it's over mishum lo sisa. Asmachta bialma. It's only an asmachta. It's not really a violation of this. So how exactly do you violate the Issur Daraisa of saying Hashem's name in vain if a bracha levatala doesn't do it? You just walk around saying Hashem's name. But once you give context to Hashem's name, you say, I mean, if you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvarav, that is a beautiful thing to say about Hashem, right? It's a wonderful thing. It's a sentence that makes a lot of sense. It's true. It's a great praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just happens to be, I'm not drinking anything right now or eating anything right now, but that would not be the Issur D'oraisa of saying Hashem's name in vain. Saying Hashem's name in vain is walking around, just stam, calling out Hashem Hashem. But that would only be an Issur D'rabbanan according to a significant group of Rishonim. Even if you hold Bracha Levatala is an Issur D'rabbanan, like the Rush, like the Tosos, like the Shita Mekubetzes, Rav Avadya Yosef points out in a number of tshuvas that it's an Issur D'rabbanan, but a very strict Issur D'rabbanan. And that's going to be important for us, because if we're dealing with two Issurim D'rabbanan, you'd rather violate the more lenient Issur D'rabbanan rather than the more strict Issur D'rabbanan. So Rav Avadya says it's a more strict Issur D'rabbanan. So I was thinking, well, you know, it's not Rav Avadya says it. He bases it on, you know, Gemaras and Rishonim, that it's called an Issur Chamur, that they refer to it as an Issur Chamur. Why? What makes it, what's the indication that it's an Issur Chamur? So it's certainly true, Prima Gadim writes in Psicha Kalalas, that when there's an Issur D'rabbanan that has an Asmachta, that's usually a higher level Issur D'rabbanan than an Issur D'rabbanan without an Asmachta. I shouldn't say it's certainly true. It's likely, meaning there are certainly shitos that hold that an Issur D'rabbanan with an Asmachta is a higher level Issur D'rabbanan than an Issur D'rabbanan without an Asmachta. That could probably be explained based on the Shitas HaRitva. The Ritva writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, I think, Daft HaZayin or so, that when there's an Asmachta from a Pasuk, what does that mean? It's an Issur D'rabbanan, but so what's the role of the Pasuk? Well, what's the Pasuk doing? If it's an Issur D'rabbanan, then why are they quoting a Pasuk? What does that mean? So the Ritva says, you know, some people will tell you that the Pasuk is like a mnemonic device. Everyone knows Tanakh by heart, so an easy way to remember things is you just remember the Pesukim of Tanakh, but it really has absolutely nothing to do. The Tanakh never meant it, the Tanakh never thought it, nothing to do with Tanakh. It's just that it's an easy way to remember things. The Ritva says it's like a derech minus to believe this way. You cannot believe that that's what an asmachta means, that that's absolutely erroneous. Whenever a Rishon gets that adamant about something, you have to ask yourself, okay, who's he arguing with? Meaning there's obviously someone that holds that way. That is the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam holds that asmachta is a mnemonic device. It's a way to remember. The Ritva says, no. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to create Beferusha Issadaraisa. So what did he do? Lo Tirzach. Okay, that's pretty explicit. Sometimes he wanted an Issadaraisa, but he wanted it to be a little bit beneath the surface. You have to make a Gzereshava, you have to make a Kavachomer, one of the Midas Shatar and Drashven. Sometimes he wanted something to be Asr. The Ribbono Shalom wanted something to be Asr, but didn't want it to be a Daraisa. He wanted it to be a Darabana. But he doesn't speak to all the rabbis. It was one of the Geirus candidates we met today in our meetings. We said, you know, can you explain the difference between rabbinic law and Torah law? And the woman said, well, Torah law is what you know God wrote in the Torah, and rabbinic law is what you guys decided. So, three of us, you know, we decided. And she really thought. She thought like at that meeting of you know our three rabbis in Queens, you know, to sit down and decide, you know. Let's have Hanukkah this year. Let's not have Hanukkah this year. So that's you know, obviously we need to do some work on the education over there, but the sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu he's not going to communicate directly with the rabbis, but he wants it to be a rabbinic law. So what does he do? He makes it in such a way that it's evident from the words of the Torah, but it cannot be derived through any of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. So it can't be a Daraisa, but it's like Kodesh Baruch Hu giving a little wink to the rabbis and saying, okay, here's where you make a din. That's how the Ritva understands Asmachta. If that's the case, Asmachta is on a higher level than a Drabban, but even more powerful, one could suggest, Rav Yosef Engel quotes in Beis HaOtzer from the Likutei Maharil, where the Likutei Maharil suggests something absolutely stunning. He writes, and this is in footnote number one if you want to see the words, Kol hecha de itmer midrabbanan v'kra Asmachta bi'alma. Whenever it says that something is a Drabbanan and v'kra Asmachta bi'alma, hachi perusha. Divadai takanta drabbanan hu. It's certainly a takana drabbanan. Vehem yatsu ubatku umatzulam smach mikra. Visamchu divrayam alav. They found a smach from a pasuk and they were so mechanin. Kedela hachazikam shiu svurim duhumi daraisa. In order to trick the people, let the people believe that it's a daraisa. When the Rabbanan needed to pull a fast one on people, and they thought that no one's going to listen to us if we say, you know, three rabbis in Queens got together and decided that there's not going to be Hanukkah this year, you know, so who's going to listen to us? So we find a pasuk. The pasuk is, and we tell everyone, oh, it's a pasuk, shaitan pasuk. You have to do what it says in the Torah. V'yachmirubo, people will then be machmir nit, v'lo asul zalzel l'hakl, b'divrei chachamim. And that will teach them they're not going to be mezalzel in the divrei chachamim. So if that's the case, what the Chum were trying to do when they found an Asmachta is they wanted people to take it seriously. Now, if there are Asmachtas from one of the Ten Commandments, they wanted people to believe that this is one of the Ten Commandments, meaning that's how seriously they wanted to people to take this din. So it could be that a Brachal Vatala is only Drabbanan, but an Isra Chamer. It happens to be that the Rav Yosef Engel says that this is absolutely an unacceptable interpretation of what Asmachta is. He writes, Guf Divrei Likutei Mariel Anal Leonias Daiti Lo Mistavri Klal. He says that it's not Mistavri at all that that's what Asmachta means. Velo Amin Klal Sheyatsu Mipekodesh Amariel Zal. And I don't believe that the Mariel ever said such a thing, and he writes because the Likutei Maharil wasn't written by the Maharil, it was written by Talmidim. So, you know, every Rebbe that has Talmidim has some stronger Talmidim and some weaker Talmidim. Some Talmidim who get it, some Talmidim who don't get it. So, this is one of the Talmidim who don't get it. I remember when I was in Karen Biavin, Rav Lachman told us that the story was that Rav Naftali Trapp was walking through the Beis Medrash in Radin. And he picks up someone's notebook and from his own shiurim, from Rav Tali Trump shiurim, and he says, "I don't know whose chidushim these are, but they're not mine." And Rav Lachman like that, and that's what they published the Chidush HaGranat from. So he wanted to teach us not to take the Chidush HaGranat like Torah Moshe Mitzrayim. We don't even know if Rav Naftali Trump said it. Maybe one of his talmidim said it. Maybe not. So you have to be critical in your analysis of these things. So he says Likutei Maharil. He says Maharil didn't write it, so I don't believe. Leniyas daiti boru muchach mikama duchte to kol asmachtu drasha gemura shekiven ala akosav. He takes a real Ritva type of stance. that it's something that the pasuk really meant, and it's something that's legitimate and it's for real. So again, clearly something that has an asmachta is a high level of sidra banan. Okay, that's stage one. Now let's discuss Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed a little bit. What is the magic of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed? Why does that work to solve the problem of Bracha Levatala? So Beis Yosef quotes this Eitz of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi discusses a case where a person had food in his hand, he recited a bracha on it, and then he dropped it. So now he's still hungry because the food fell in the mud. He's not going to be able to eat that food. He dropped it. So now he's going to replace it with something else. So Yerushalmi says he should say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed to solve the first bracha that he said, and say a new bracha because the new food that he brought, the first bracha didn't cover. So he's going to have to say a new bracha. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Reish Vav Siv Vav. Natal biyado pri liachlo, you take a fruit to eat it. Ubire chalav, you said a bracha, v'nafal miyado, it fell out of your hand, v'nevado nimas, it's lost or disgusting, tzarech lachzor levarich, hafal pi shayim el simin, l'fan of yoser, k'shabire chalarishon, v'tzarech lom, baruch shem kol makzol ved, al shod si shem shmayim levatala. You have to say new bracha, but also say baruch shem kol makzol ved, for being motzi shem shmayim levatala. But why does it work? What does that do? Why is it that only by brachos, all of a sudden, saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed just like rids you of the problem of a bracha levatala? How does that make any sense? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he says lo nisbar hatam, not clear why it works. V'ulai mipnei shehotzi shem shemayim levatala lefichach tzarich lekabel alav ol malchus shemayim. What does that mean? What's he suggesting? It's a remedy in what sense? Meaning, did you violate? Here's what I'm trying to figure out. When you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed, have you now not violated Bracha Levatala? So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that when you say a Bracha Levatala, you've disrespected the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's like if you insult somebody, you say, I'm sorry, or no offense, right? Or I love you, really, I do. You know, so what have you not insulted them? Yeah, but you know, you still did what you did. You still said what you said. You're trying to smooth it over a little bit. You're trying to show no disrespect intended, you know, or it was a lapse of judgment for a moment. And that's for yourself. That's what you need to do for yourself. That's l'chora what the Aruch HaShulchan means. In which case, saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed is not going to be this great answer. It's not going to be like this this way of just, oh, okay, you could avoid all the problems. You're not going to have to eat, and you're not going to have to violate Bracha Levatala, because you could just say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed, and you can say, no, it doesn't really solve the Bracha Levatala. You still will have violated this Isur Chamer Midrabanan of Bracha Levatala. You just will have fixed some sort of pagam in yourself. Now, why did they choose Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed of all different shvachim that they could say? So the Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah writes, Shema Yisrael, Rabbanan Amrim B'Shar Shalomosh Alamarim, Shema L'malachi Ashari Shayom L'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed, V'horido Sali Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Malachi Ashari saying this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brought this Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed down to Klal Yisrael. V'lama Ein Yisrael Omeno Sobe Farhesya. Why do we not say it loudly, generally? Am Rabbi Yassi, L'ma Dover Doma, L'echad Shagon of Kuzmin, Mitoch Platin Shal Melech, Nosle Ishto V'lama, Al Tiskashi Bobe Farhesya. You steal an expensive piece of jewelry from the king, and you come home to your wife, and you say, here's this expensive piece of jewelry, just don't wear it so publicly, you know, because it was stolen from the palace of the king. So, you know, betoch beso. So on Yom HaKippurim, when Nikiyim, Kamalachai Ashares, we could say it b'faresia, but otherwise, it's a tefillah niskav ma'od. It's this very lofty type of tefillah. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Liyakov Al HaTorah points out that it's definitely very, very closely associated with Yehei Shmei Rabbam Varach Le'olam Le'olmei Maya, which is the centerpiece of Kaddish, very closely associated. You have to look at them carefully and see what exactly is the difference between them, obviously between the Aramaic and the Hebrew, but the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Gimel, says when we say Yehei Shmei Agadol Mvarach, when we say Yehei Shmei Rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Na'anea Barosho, and he says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekaltzen Oso Beveso Kach. It's Kaviyachu moves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels fortunate is a melech that gets praised. Bebeisel kach oylo lemelech shagala banav me'al shulchan or something like that. I've got the exact lashon of the Gemara in Brachas. That that woe unto a king is kilo akadosh baruch hu is misnachim on the has charat on the churban when we say such a tefillah niskava. So if you want to show real kavod akadosh baruch hu, the kind of kavod akadosh baruch hu that akadosh baruch hu says ashrei hamelech shemekalsin also kach. So Baruch Shem Kvam Achsel on that is the way to do it. That's the tachshit, that's the special. So that's how you show kavod. Okay, that seems to be the shita of Tosos Maseches Brachos as well. Tosos and Brachos writes, you say Baruch Shem Kvam Achsel on that, Mishum Dava Brach Levatala, V'chei Nachon Lomer HaKol Brach Levatala Baruch Shem Kvam Achsel on that. Twice in one line, he refers to it as a Brach Levatala, even as he's telling us to say Baruch Shem Kvam Achsel on that, which implies that it remains a Brach Levatala, even though you're saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusel on that. However, the Rambam in the 12th parak of Hilchos Shavuos Halacha Yud Aleph might be saying otherwise. The Rambam, this is toward the top of page 3 in the block quote over there, says the Rambam, V'lo Shavua Lashav Bilvad Hisha Asura. Not only is Shavua Lashav is Asur, Ela Afilu Lahaskir Shem Min HaShemos HaMiyuchadin Levatala Asur. To say any Shem Hashem Levatala is Asur. V'yafal pi shelo nishba. Shoya kosav mitzava v'yomer liyiras Hashem anichbad v'anora. Even if you don't take a shvua, you just say the Shem Hashem Levatala, that's a lack of kavod for the Shem anichbad v'anora. U'bechlal yirasa shelo yaskiru Levatala. Lefichach. Therefore, says Rambam, im ta'a haloshon v'hotzi Shem Levatala. If he made a mistake and he said Shem Shemayim Levatala, Yimar miyad v'yishabeach v'yifar v'yahadr lo k'day shelo yizach Levatala. Right away, say Dvar Shevach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that it won't be Levatala. Ketzad, Amar Hashem, if you said Hashem, don't just leave it hanging there as just Hashem. No, what do you say? Omer, Baruch Hu Leomved, O Gadol Umulo Ma'od. Okay, I don't care what praise you say. You can say Baruch Hu Leomved, Gadol Umulo Ma'od. Meaning it's not about this tefillah niskav of Baruch Shem Kol Machzol and that as a way of saying, Hashem, I really do honor you. No, what are you doing according to the Rambam? What it sounds according to the Rambam is, you're not leaving the Hashem just hanging there, that word Hashem just hanging there all alone. Because that would be Shem Shemayim Levatala. You said it without a context, so quickly give it a context. So instead of just Hashem, it's now Hashem is the greatest. And now it's a full sentence. Now it's a context. And when it's given a context, it's no longer Shem Shemayim Levatala. It's now that you have now said a great Shavach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avi's Kasha? What's that? The Rambam's talking about where you just said Shem Hashem. But if you said a bracha, like Shakol Ne'abedvaro, you already have a context. So you would say, oh, the Rambam must hold that saying a bracha Levatala is not an Issa D'Oraisa. Because it already has a context. It must only be in Issa D'Rabbanan. Problem is, Ram says in two places, in Tshuvas and in Mishnah Torah, that Brach Levatala is in Issa D'Oraisa. So apparently he holds that even with the context, it's Brach Levatala. It's Shem Shemayim Levatala. So how does the Rambam, the same Rambam, who says that saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaMashiach Kol Ne'abed Varo without eating anything or drinking anything, that's called Shem Shemayim Levatala, how is he going to say that when you say Shem Hashem, just give it some context, say something nice about Hashem, and that will solve it. That's not going to be Levatala anymore. Why didn't the Shakol Ne'abed Varo solve it? So I was very bothered by this, and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I found that the Kleisenberger raises this issue in Divrei Yitziv, in his Tshuvas, and he suggests that once Chazal asserted Bracha Levatala, meaning once they said that a Bracha, the way as Chazal formulated a Bracha, has to be in the context of eating something, in the context of what you're saying the Bracha on, it's ki'ilu chazal were mesaken, that's not a good enough context. Meaning the halacha, according to the Rambam, is when you say Shem Shemayim Levatala, as long as you give it a context, it's not Shem Shemayim Levatala. You will have solved Shem Shemayim Levatala on a Daraisa level. As long as you just give it a context. That's the Shitas HaRambam. Why doesn't Shakol Ne'abed Varo work? I gave it a context. I said Shakol Ne'abed Varo. Because once Chazal called that a Brach Levatala, they're being mesaken, that's not a good enough context. So when you say the Shem Hashem, you're going to have to fix it with some other context, like Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusel on that.
The Rambam got it from the Yerushalmi, which is Yerushalmi was talking about a bracha, right?
Right, that's true too. The Yerushalmi was talking about a bracha explicitly, so it's hard to say that it's not about a bracha, right? But in a chinami, but that's exactly what Kleisenberg is saying, right? That fits with what the Kleisenberg is saying.
Where did the Rambam get this baruch shame business? Isn't the whole makar baruch shame
from the Yerushalmi?
The Yerushalmi,
right?
But the Yerushalmi says you could correct, you could fix a bracha with it, which you're saying.
I think the Rambam, no, I think Kleisenberg is saying that you could fix a bracha with it according to the Rambam, but but it needs fixing. It needs fixing. Because you might have thought that, no, the bracha shouldn't need fixing. It's already...
The Rambam would say, even if you say bracha tashem al shakal levar, you could still say bracha shem.
Yeah, probably.
But what's the rationale behind that? That if, just because Chazal...
Call this a bracha levatal... The rationale, I'm not sure. I mean, I hear it a little bit, that once Chazal created this issue, they said, this is not a viable context. I mean, you have a requirement when you say Shem Hashem to provide a viable context around it. And Chazal have said, and don't do a bracha, because that's not a viable context. Now, I don't love it, but it's the only answer I found.
Because the Gemara says, why did the Gemara have to say that? If you make a bracha, everyone should lay seize up. If you say Hashem's name, everyone should lay seize up. No, the answer is...
No, it's a greater chiddush.
Meaning, because even though there's context,
right, it's still lo sisa.
Even without the Gemara, you would say it's not because there's
right. That's a greater chiddush. Yeah. In fact, that half the Rishonim say you're not really over lo sisa. It's an asmachta. Yeah. So l'chora, we have two totally different ways of understanding Baruch Shem v'malchus olam v'ed. We have the way the Bali Atosa seem to understand, and certainly the Aruch HaShulchan and others would see Pesach Frank, that you're not fixing anything. You're just, you know. I mean, you're not fixing the bracha. You're fixing your own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not really fixing the bracha levatal. The bracha levatal is the same bracha levatal it was. But according to the Rambam, you are fixing the bracha levatal. So there are significant nafkaminas. There are significant nafkaminas between these two. That l'chora, l'chora nafkamina would be our case for sure. You know, is it, does it, would saying Baruch Shem V'malchus Olam V'ed solve your problem in our case? It might be enough, Kamina, if it works to say something other than Baruch Shem V'malchus Olam V'ed, right? Meaning, if you hold that it's to repair the relationship, it could be that it's only repaired, that relationship is only repaired by these magic words, this tachshit, this whatever. But if you hold that it's just to give context, it doesn't really matter so much what the context is. They quote from Ramosha, Mordechai Tandler quotes from Ramosha in that Mesoros Moshe Sefer, that maybe even Limud HaTorah would work. Why would Limud HaTorah work? Meaning, he said, maybe that works because it's a Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a greater Shevach, that's just as great a Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an unbelievable chiddush. That's hard to believe. Or another nafkamina. How immediate does it have to be? There's a better Mordechai Tandler quotes from his grandfather. If you're not sure if it was a bracha levatala, can you think about it before you say Baruch Shem? Or do you have to just quickly say Baruch Shem v'malchus olam v'ed? So then why is that a nafkamina? What? What do you think? If you hold that you need to give a context to the Shem Hashem you just said, it can't be a context 20 minutes later.
You can't say, I'm sorry, 20 minutes later.
No, why not? You can do tshuva whenever you do tshuva. Right? Why not? I would think you can. So Rav Moshe held, apparently, he quotes from Rav Moshe that you're allowed to think about it, that it doesn't have to be right away. I don't know, you do tshuva whenever.
The Shacharach doesn't have a marshal that we give. You made fun of a guy, so 20 minutes later you're going to say you're sorry? It doesn't happen.
I don't know, sometimes it looks better to say you're sorry 20 minutes later, because it means that you actually thought about it.
The Shacharach doesn't sound like there's any kind of immediacy requirement. The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like...
The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, where do I have it?
In page 2.
Yeah.
You have to make another bracha. Oh, Mitzar Kalim Baruch Shem
Al Shahaitzi. Yeah. It sounds like even after the other bracha, you could say it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And he's paraphrasing the Yerushalmi, which says the same thing. So it's true. It doesn't sound like there's a sense of urgency over there. What about, it's late. What about tasting something on a tainis, the Isra of Ti'ima, on a tainis and saying a bracha on a Ti'ima? So the Gemara in Brachas Dav Yudalit, if you're fasting, can you taste? Is it achil v'shtiyah kabbalu levalecha? You only accept a nati to drink, but not tasting is not eating or drinking. Somebody toim ve'im beklach klum. Yeah, give you toim, but the tani namiachi, Rabbi Yam, Rabbi Yassi, tami ad shir revius. You have to be toim, but toim less than revius. Now, it's not absolutely clear in the Gemara what toim means. I mean, when you say you taste something, what do? You put it in your mouth, then what? Two options. Either you swallow it or you spit it out. Either way, you get a little bit of a taste. When the Gemara says you can be toim ve'im beklach klum, up to a revius, does the Gemara mean that you could swallow up to a revius? Ve'im beklach klum, and it's a zero, it's a nothing? Or does the Gemara mean, no, put it in your mouth and spit it out? But if you're going to swallow it, then that's absolutely forbidden. The pashtus, the majority of Rishonim hold, the Tosus and the Rosh, quote from Ben Chananel, ti'ima pachs revius is mutter only if you spit it out. And that's how it's paskin in the Rif and the Rambam, right? Only if you spit it out. And that's what's paskin in Shulchan Aruch as well. So, the idea that you could, drink just a little bit, like a chatzi shir or something, is l'chorah not going to save you from the iser of eating on a fast day. Now the question is, okay, but what if I put something in my mouth and I spit it out? Would that require a bracha? Right? Would that require a bracha rishona? Because if it would, then maybe that's what he should do. Maybe he should put it in his mouth and spit it out if that would require a bracha. So the pashtus is that the two should be dependent on each other. Whatever would be a violation on a fast would be a violation. If anything, though, the Rambam doesn't quote this din that you have to be polite in Hilchos Brachos, meaning if you didn't say a bracha. He says that if you, and the Kesem Mishnah explains that even if you're toim ubalea pachas merevius, you don't need a bracha, meaning it works the other direction. That if you're toim, and even if you swallow less than revius, it's not going to require a bracha. That's how the Kesem Mishnah understands the Rambam. Now that requires a lot of elaboration because it's one of the klalim in Hilchos Brachos is that there's a shear for bracha achrona. There's no shear for bracha rishona. So even pachas merevius are going to require a bracha rishona. So again, the pashut pshat is that in order to justify the bracha, you need to swallow something. In order to violate eating on a fast day, you don't need to have a whole revius. Even swallowing something is violating a fast day. So we're back to that initial, that initial conflict. Bracha levatala better or eating on a fast day is better? So I thought Pashas says they're both drabanans. Bracha levatala is a drabanan that's chamur or perhaps a doraisa. Machlok shushon whether it's a doraisa or a chamur drabanan. Eating on a fast day is stama drabanan. Better to take a little bit, just eat a little bit. And then have pachas mikashir because you never know. There are little shitas. So pachas mikashir is better. It's not going to count as achila. Ritzvika thought not that way. And it's not just me. And I mean, obviously, this is discussed by real post, by early poskim, by real poskim. Rav Avadia Yosef says, like I thought, to have a little bit. But Rav Menashe Klein in his Mishnah Halachos said like Tzvika thought to say the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elyon Vad and V'hu Rachum Yechaper Avon, so Baruch should forgive him for this. Okay. Good segue into Mario, right. No, for sure continue fasting. Yeah. Once you break a fast, you still gotta fast.
It's not entirely related, but I once asked for